But thank you for being along on the ride with me, willingly or not. I want to read from Exodus chapter 3 and 4. I'm going to read bits and pieces, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What you believe as a pillar or tenet of your faith determines how you see things. For instance, if I believe all people who wear cowboy boots are bad, then I have already determined that this gentleman right here is a scoundrel. And since he had a birthday this past week, again, do you understand what I'm saying? What's your frame of reference? What are the foundations of your belief? How do you approach things? I believe personally that every person has a purpose. Every person has a plan. That God created every individual. He created their soul and breathed life into them. That even though your parents conceived you, there was still an act of God that took place that caused your soul to be deposited into your earthen vessel. That's my basic belief. And so, based upon that belief, I believe that no one is created without purpose. Well, Pastor, have you met some of my family? I understand that. I understand. I get it. Doesn't mean I don't question things from time to time, but if I'm going to believe it, I have to believe that everyone has a purpose, that God has ordained from the foundation of the earth that you and I have a reason for drawing breath because of His deposit. You understand? What I say with the word deposit, a deposit is something that you put in with an expectation of a return. And see, God didn't just create you, but instead He deposited something in you. So there is an expectation on your life that at some point, in some moment, you're going to not be too thick to understand that there is a reason for you to be here. And it's not just about you. Ooh. How many of you met people where their life is just all about, it's about me? You know what I'm talking about. But there comes a point where that becomes so shallow and so empty that we cannot continue to live in that place because it offers nothing. But instead we look to that deposit that God gave us and we say, okay, God, in Exodus chapter 3, I want to talk today about that deposit. I want to talk again about who we are. I want to talk about what the expectation of God is. But I need you to understand that, again, my frame of reference is that every person everywhere from the most saintly Mother Teresa to the most despicable killer, the most vile criminal, has a purpose that God destined for them. It's their choice whether they walk it out or not. That's my frame of reference. That's where we're coming from. So Exodus chapter 3, I just want to read a little bit here. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back side of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And then Moses said, here am I. Father, as we are reading your word today, we ask that you would add your blessing to the reading of your word, because your word's already blessed. But God, I pray that you will open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive, that Father, you will allow me to simply be your vessel, that you will anoint my tongue, my mouth, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to provide some kind of thought or some type of idea that comes from your throne to help us to move forward in where we are, that we will not remain stagnant, that we will not continue on the same path that we've been, but God, that you will help us to continue to move toward the calling and the destiny that you have prepared for us. We thank you for that right now, in Jesus' name. Now, may I mention to you, we all know the story about Moses, and most of the things I'm going to share with you, you already know and you already understand. But I do want to point out that at this point in the story, Moses has worked for his father-in-law for how long? 40 years. This is not something new. This is not a new place for Moses to be. He has been tending his father-in-law's sheep for a couple days. And how many of you know that when you get into a routine of things, it just kind of drives itself? Any of you ever do that? I remember when I was driving back and forth from Winston, that 45, 50 minutes every day, 54 miles each way, I just automatically made the turns. You understand? My head was somewhere else. I got on autopilot. And the problem becomes that sometimes in our life, we get on this autopilot. And it becomes almost our expectation. Well, you know, if anything's going to change, because I understand sometimes it's hard to just make it. It's hard. Well, Pastor, you don't understand what I have to battle every day. Okay, I'll switch you for a while. Well, you don't know what I go through. Okay, I'll give you that. But what I'm trying to say is that there comes a point in a time where we have to stop and we actually have to engage. How many of you have ever seen the movie with Adam Sandler in which he decides to get this remote control to fast forward through the boring parts of life? Any of you ever seen that? And he picks up this remote control and the boring part, he wants to just kind of fast forward through the, you know, the work hours. How many of you would like to do that? And he wants to fast forward through, you know, the monotonous hours, maybe the sleep hours, and just fast forward through those. And he just wants to be present and living in the really exciting hours, those moments in time that have the adrenaline, that have the excitement. Some of you are wishing that you had a remote control right now, but I understand. But what he found was that as he pushed that remote control, he actually lost the ability to stop it. He lost the ability to determine what was remote control worthy and what wasn't. And so he suddenly woke up and now he's in the latter part of his life wondering where all those years went. And I remember my father saying to me probably 25 years ago, "Son, I don't know where the years have gone." I looked at him the other day or before he left, and I was talking to him on the phone the other day, and I said, "Dad, you're 71 years old. How could you have let this happen? How has this occurred?" And he laughed for a minute, and then he quit laughing real quick, and he said, "Son, I really don't know." Because it's just something that happens in our lives. We get in this cycle. We get in this arena where we are just allowing our life to run us to the point where there are moments in time where we pass by these burning bushes and we don't even notice that they're there because we push fast forward and we're hurrying. I know some of you can identify with what I'm talking about. And so, only God knows how many times Moses passed by this. But God, in His infinite wisdom, is smart enough to know that you and I are dumb. Forgive me. I'm not insulting your intelligence. What I'm trying to say is that unless He allows us to turn and see that what's worked in the past is no longer working, it won't do us any good. Can you follow what I'm trying to say? So it references here, listen to me, this is what brings the question to my mind. I've never thought about this question before. But it says here that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and the bush burned not. But it says God waited until Moses turned aside and gave it his full attention. So it begs the question in my heart, how many times had Moses passed by there in a hurry to get to where he was going and never saw that God was trying to get his attention? How often in our lives every day do we go through our motions? Tell me you don't have a routine. You know you have a routine. And if your husband or wife or children interrupt your routine, there is something to pay. You know what I'm talking about. It's my turn in the bathroom. Get out. I only have a few more minutes. And so here we see somehow his attention has finally been gotten. And again, my question is, how many times did he pass by that same bush and it was still on fire? I don't know. Maybe this was the first time. Maybe he was an extremely observant cat. I don't know. The only thing I know is sometimes Jennifer's got to hit me over the head with a sledgehammer. Tony smiled. You must know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? Because there are moments in time where I just don't get it. It takes a hurricane or a whirlwind to make me go, "Oh, what was that?" But here we are, and God could have, you know, think about it. Just think about it. I mean, He could have Aerosmith standing in that burning bush playing, "Dude Looks Like a Lady." I just thought I'd throw that in for fun. Anything. It doesn't matter. You understand what I'm saying? He could have had something going on exciting there to get Moses' attention. But it wouldn't have been the same thing. God required that Moses focus his energies and stop what he was doing to say, "Hold up just a minute. What is going on?" So my first question to you this morning is, What does God have to do to get your attention? And if I can piggyback on that question, think about the last couple weeks. Has anything happened in the last couple weeks around you, to people that you know, that maybe God is already trying to get your attention about something? Sometimes He's subtle, and sometimes He's overt. But is it possible that He's trying to get your attention? But God is so smart. I mean, He's the creator of the world. I want to serve a God that's more intelligent than me, right? And so I'm good with that. And so He's so, in His infinite wisdom, He understands that in order for me to engage, in order for Him to engage me, I have to completely focus on what He's trying to say. So He does not say, hey, Moses, hey, Mo, yo. He doesn't put up a banner. He doesn't, like I said, doesn't have a band there playing. He doesn't shoot off fireworks. He just waits. And only when Moses turned his full attention to the situation, only then, did God say, Moses. As I was reading this, preparing, I began to think how many times in my life I was begging God to talk to me. How many times in my life have I asked for a word? How many times in my life have I cried out to Him, just say something to me, just speak to me? I'm not even talking about that audible voice. I'm just talking about that knowing. You know what I'm talking about? When you know that you're in the right way. And in those times where I couldn't get any peace, those times where I couldn't get that feeling of understanding. And then the thought came to me, were you really listening? Were you really focused on what He was trying to say? Or did you have all that noise going on inside your head? Oh, some of you know what I'm talking about. We have, this is no offense to any of you who are natural blondes, but we have this friend in Ohio, and I'm going to forget. He was a best man in my wedding, and his wife is just the greatest person in the world. We love them. They are some of our best friends. And we sit down and have game night with them often when we go back up. But before we moved down here, we had game night with them at least once a month. And she and Jennifer were always partners. He and I were always partners. And the first couple times we played cards or any other kind of game, I remember her husband sitting and he would go to her. And I sit there and I go, is that Klingon or something? Are you some kind of one of those weird nerds? What's going on? I don't understand. You're kind of creeping me out, dude. You're a little weird. And he'd smile at me. And he'd wink. And he'd go, just wait. And he'd do it again. And she would just cock her head like this and said, how do you do that? And I said, how does he do what? Oh, he always knows when I've got that noise going on inside my head. I forgot to mention, he's a therapist and has been for many years. Has his own firm up there. But she really says that she has this white noise sometimes in her head when she's thinking. She's blonde. And I said, okay, well, thank you, Lord. But there are times where we have that. You know what I'm talking about? That noise that interrupts what we're trying to do. Did you do this? Well, what will the kids say? Or what will he think? What will she think? What will your neighbors say? What will your coworkers say? What will pastors say? What about this? You understand what I'm talking about? We have this noise. You pretend like we don't have that noise, but you have that noise. You understand what I'm talking about, whether you shake your head yes or not, because you got stuff that comes up inside of you that bothers you from time to time. You lie if you want. You'll pretend like you don't have it, but that's all right. So, at this point, Moses has found some way to overcome all of that noise, all of that stuff, all those issues, all those things that keep him from being able to actually focus on what God is trying to deal with him about. And so only at that time, man, only then does God say his name. And isn't there something powerful about hearing your name? I joke and I say, you know, there are only two people, well, there's only one person now that's still alive that's allowed to call me by my full name. And that's because all the rest of them are dead. Because it was usually when I was in trouble or something was going down. You know what I'm talking about. But there's something powerful about hearing that. And here he is and he hears his name. Moses. Moses. He says, here I am. Then the introductions begin, and again, most of us know this, we've heard this. When he says, here I am, God said to him, draw not hither, don't come here, but put your shoes off, because where you are is holy. There's something to be said about having respect for when God is about to say something to you. Well, that's old-fashioned, Pastor. Well, it may be old-fashioned. I'm not talking about you got to get barefoot and you got to get spooky. That's not what I'm trying to say. But what I am trying to say is there's got to be some kind of honor. Do you know what I mean? There has to be some kind of system in which you yourself, being this vessel of clay that has been made in the image of God, that has been breathed into with the very life of God, created in His image, with purpose and destiny. And then the Creator Himself speaks to His creation. There's something honorable about that. There's something powerful about that. There's something life-changing about that. That's not just an ordinary day at the factory. Don't treat it that way. And yet we take the things of God, we take the ability for us to come in here and to honor Him and to worship Him, we take them for granted and we say, well, you know, it's just another opportunity. But instead, it's another opportunity to come into His presence. Again, I'm not saying get spooky about it. What I'm saying is take advantage of those things and take them for what they're worth and hold on to them, because we assume everybody gets that, and that's not always the case. He says, take off your shoes, because where you're about to stand is holy. There's something honorable about the preparation of hearing what God is going to say. And then he begins to introduce himself. Most of you, again, know this story. He begins to introduce himself. He begins to say, I've heard the cry of my children. I've heard that they're unhappy. I've heard all the bad things. I've heard all the issues that have come up. I've heard how frustrated they are. I know that they're being mistreated. I know that everything's going wrong for them. And so I want to change that. Again, let's put ourselves in Moses' position for just a minute. Can you imagine hearing that God knows your name, first of all? Secondly, that God knows what's been going on with you. There are 7 billion plus people on the planet. And you mean God knows? Ooh, really? And not only does He know my name, and he knows what's been going on with me, but He's so interested in what's going on with you that He wants to change it. He wants to get involved with it. He says, I don't like the way they've been treating you. I don't like the things that you've been going through. I want to make a change in that for you. That I just can you fathom that? That the Creator would have that kind of care and that kind of concern for you. And Moses says, and so God says, I want to send you as a deliverer to them. And Moses said, I can't. God said, I want you to tell them I am sent you. Again, we know all this. What I wanted to flesh out of this, and with your kindness and your patience, I'm going to end in just a couple minutes and pick it up a little bit on Wednesday night. But what I want to look at here is that God says, I am sent me. That's what you should tell them. And Moses says, but I can't do it. We look in chapter number 4, verses number 1 and 2, and Moses said, but behold, they will not believe me. They will not hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord had not appeared unto you. And the Lord said, what is that in thine hand? Now, I've preached this before. I've preached these very verses before. I've preached this message before. But something different occurred to me as I was studying in these last few days. Something different occurred to me. Something changed my thought process. Any of you ever had that before? I've always thought and believed and preached that Moses just needed to have some confidence that it was already there for him. That Moses was just being a wimp, a whiner, a complainer. And I've approached it really basically from the fact that we as Christians need to stop whining and complaining. That's really the standpoint that I have approached it from. And can I tell you, I think I'm wrong. Not wrong in the fact that we need to stop whining and complaining, because I think I need to do that from time to time. And Jennifer said amen. And not wrong from the standpoint of that He has already placed inside of us the ability. If you can, I said I want to read from the New Testament as well. So hold your point there and I'm going to wrap up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to leave you with this thought this morning. And I want to pick up with it a little bit more on Wednesday night. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7. Again, my point of reference was Moses could have done it. He was just a big whiny baby who had some doubt and some things he needed to suck it up and move on. A friend of Shane's likes to say, suck it up, buttercup. I can't tell you how many times I've used that in the last 5 months, 4 months. That's a good line. But chapter number 4, verse number 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Pero tenemos este tesoro en vasos de barro. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I want you to think about this for just a moment. I want you to hear this for just a moment. If Moses would have been arrogant and egotistical enough to say, "Yeah, God, I was thinking that too. I'm glad we're on the same page. Let's go." We might have had a different story. Instead, we had someone who said, "But I can't, but I can't, but I can't." And God said, "But you can." Because as long as you understand that it is not your own ability, as long as you understand that the thing that allows you to succeed in life, the thing that allows you to be a triumph, to be a victorious Christian in your life and in this world, is the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. As long as you understand that, then there is a humility and there is a power that exceeds the power of the enemy every time. I don't know if you're hearing me. I don't know if you can get this just yet. So think about it. Think about it. If Moses would have said, "Yeah, I got this," it would have been in his own power. If when God spoke to you to do what he put the dreams in your heart to do, that you have actually said out of your mouth, "That's crazy. There's no way I could do that." It's at that moment, hear me, says that the excellency of the power of God may be of us, may be of God and not of us. He says, it's at that moment when you realize and you understand that those dreams are not your own, that those desires are not your own, that those goals are not your own, that your destiny is not even your own, but it is through Christ. Oh my goodness, do you hear me? It's when we understand that without Him, without the partnership and the power of the Holy Spirit, without His ability, without Him inside of us, changing us, empowering us, causing us to be able to do what we could not of and by ourselves do. It is in that moment when He receives the glory. Because if Moses would have said, "I got this, I'm good to go," then he would have received the glory for what God was going to do, and God could not have moved through him. But when he said, "I can't do it," and God said, "Look at what's in your hand. Tell me what's in your hand. Tell me what you have, and I'll tell you how it will work." It's in that moment when we look and take an inventory of ourselves and we say, "God, whatever I have, whatever it is that you want, whatever you're asking of me, I'm willing to do it. I'll say yes." It's at that moment. It's at that moment that he receives glory for it. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? There's something powerful about that. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that first of all, you chose to breathe life into us. That you chose to give us the precious gift of your Holy Spirit. That you chose to speak life into us, that you chose to call us from death to life. But Father, I pray that you will help us to remember so often that it is you that is in us that is the hope of glory. And that while it doesn't look like we're able to do these things, you said that we will be able to do them, not because we're able, but because you're able. Because it's your desire to receive the glory and the honor. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts and allow us to see a different side of this story even this morning. That Moses wasn't whining, he wasn't complaining, he wasn't doubting. But instead, he really was not able. Not in and of himself, but he had to have you. And Father, we make that same declaration this morning. We've got to have you. We need you. We've got to have 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 you. Thank you.